If you haven't noticed, Martin's not here. I'm just an old country redneck wearing steel-toe boots and jeans up here. So don't expect the same thing you get out of him, but I'm here to deliver a message. I like to think a lot. That's one of my downfalls. Sometimes I'll shut up and just think for 30 minutes. And I honestly think that's one reason why God gave us a brain. I think he gave us a brain to reason and do some rational thinking. It's not always about Facebook and Twitter and all this other stuff. Think. Get in depth. If you hang around me long enough, you're going to hear me say this. Put yourself at the end of your life. We're smart. We can project ourselves there. Turn around and look back. What kind of things are you going to be proud of that you did? What kind of things are you going to be proud of that you did? If you're a Christian, I hope you could say, grow closer to God. I hope you could say, feel him move. I hope you could say, I went on more mission trips. I hope you could say, I put the TV remote down more, put the phone down more. There's a lot of things I think you would say if you project yourself at the end and turn around and look back. Well, one of the things that I have been really contemplating a lot is what you see on the screen, which is persevere. You know, you look back at all the disciples, what did they do? They persevered. They didn't give up. They didn't walk away. So in my preparation, persevere is only like used 2 or 3 times in the Bible. So, God took me to the book of Revelation. It's Revelation 3:10. It says, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Okay, that's some pretty heavy stuff. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell. That sounds awesome to me. I don't know about you. God will keep me from the hour of trial. I don't know when that is. I don't know exactly how he's going to do it. I'm not an expert on the book of Revelation. But one thing I do know is God cannot lie. God always tells the truth. So you can take this to the bank and cash it. It's done. Because you have kept my command to persevere. So how does a Christian persevere? How do you do it? Ooh, I've asked this question of myself. You know, I said I'm a thinker. I like to think. And who's got the best answer but me? Just kidding. I've Googled it. I've watched YouTube videos, ask my wife. I've talked to friends. I've checked the thesaurus. You know, it's a verb. The word persevere is a verb. And a verb means action. A verb means I've got to do something. A verb means I'm not going to sit down and warm a pew. It means I'm not going to sit down and warm a recliner. It means I'm doing something. So, if you don't like the word persevere, I looked up in the thesaurus a bunch of other words. Endure, hold on, keep going, persist, press on, proceed, pursue, stand firm, continue, maintain, remain, be determined, be resolved, be stubborn, carry on, go for broke, go for it, go on, hang in, hang tough, hold fast, keep driving, keep on, leave no stone unturned, plug away, see it through, stay the course, stick with it. Then I listened to some sermons. Then I started digging into God's Word. And that's where I want us to go today. I want us to turn to Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2. Stand when you get there, please. Don't be afraid to use the table of contents. I'm going to do it just to help you. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which has so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We see here, you can be seated. I'm sorry, I'm not used to this again. We see here there's no sprinting. Persevere is like endurance here. We're in it for the long haul. The verse says we are to run a race with endurance. The race that is set before each and one of us. It's already there. You're in it. Run it. But it says looking at Jesus. I'll tell you, when I read this verse, I got that mental image of a dog race. And forgive me if, you know, that bothers you. But I envision those greyhounds chasing that fake rabbit. Man, and they're getting after it and they're going and they're chasing. They're going after something. We have something much better than a little fake rabbit to go after, don't we? We've got Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to go after, to look at. I mean, I can't think of anything worth chasing more. Doesn't it sound like a lot of work, though? I've got a buddy at work. His name is Matthew Whitley. He's insane. I'm just going to tell you, he's very smart, but he is insane. He is a self-proclaimed endurance runner. He described to me training to run a 50-mile race. I don't want to run to my car outside. This man's preparing to run a 50-mile race. He talked about waking up early to run, staying up late to run, training his muscles not to give up. 50 miles, people. That's a long way. He talked about his diet, all the little things that he had to do to train, to prepare for a 50-mile run. You know, not to mention the mental part of it. Can you imagine at mile 40? Everything that's going in your head to tell you to lay down and give up, it'd be at about mile half for me. But I got tired listening to him. I mean, just physically tired listening to him. Not that it was boring, but just processing everything he was telling me, I could feel exhaustion coming on. So with that story in my mind, with this verse of running the race, looking unto Jesus, swirling all through my head, you know, it came to my mind that what is wrong with us having a Christian workout plan? What's wrong with us knowing to do 10 reps at this, 5 reps at this, run 30 minutes here and do this? What's wrong with it? I like a list. I like structure. I like, you know, I may not know everything that we do in the times that we do it, but I'm glad we do it that way. So I came up with a little workout plan. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to work on our arms. We're going to pray. What does praying do to you? Think about it for just a minute. Praying lines you up with God. Jesus was the only person that I know of that could meet the mandate in Ephesians to pray continually. I fell at it. We had a Sunday school lesson this morning on Nehemiah. The man prayed in the middle of a conversation. How do you do that? You got to be continually praying. Jesus was the strongest prayer I know. So if you want to know how to do it, go look at him. Luke chapter 5, verse 16 tells us that Jesus often went into the wilderness to pray. Often. Over 25 times he's verbally quoted as praying. That's a lot. Matthew chapter 6 outlines how you should pray. Go there and check it out. I call prayers push-ups because you're literally pushing your thoughts up to God. You're literally hearing Him talk. You're doing something that involves an upward movement. I think one reason why I don't pray as much as I should, and I think if we're all honest, we'd say it too, is I've got to admit that I don't know the answer. I've got to admit that I don't have it all together. It's okay to not know all the answers. It's okay to rely on God to give you some answers. There's nothing wrong with it. I do find that prayer is one of the most personal ways that you can get to know God and His will for your life. I can feel myself lining up with God when I pray, when I praise Him, when I ask Him for forgiveness, when I tell God what I need, when I ask Him for strength and deliverance from sin. God is good. Tap into Him. Even if you don't know what to pray, open up communication with God. Romans chapter 8 tells us that the Spirit intercedes for us. I think it talks about groaning, unintelligible groanings to God for you. I don't know what He's saying, but I'm glad He's doing it. Just pray. Next, we're going to work on our core. We're going to strengthen the middle of our body, the base. The foundation, what holds you up when you sit down, what holds you up when you stand up, what holds you up when you run. We're going to do some Bible reading. The Holy Bible was written by men, divinely inspired, and is God's revelation of Himself to man. That should be it. Dig into it. John chapter 1 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Can y'all say it? I know we got some Awana people in there. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's a roll all the way through 14 real quick. You know, 31 times in the New Testament, Jesus says, as it is written, 31 times, or it is written. He's quoting it. I mean, He wrote it. He knows it. We should be able to quote some of it. Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Sounds like there's a good purpose for hiding God's word in your heart. A good purpose for reading it, for knowing it, that I might not sin against you. It's integral to my Christian workout plan because it physically builds up my core. I'll tell you a little story about 5 years ago. I was the brand new county maintenance engineer for Nash County, and I was excited. I got a call at the end of our workday that says there's a tree across the road. Everybody else had left. I was still in the office. I said, well, I can handle this. I got this. I had a new chainsaw anyway. I wanted to try that thing out. So I get there. I don't even look at the tree. I just crank it up. I work for the state, so I'm putting on my chainsaw chaps. I'm putting on my face guard and all that stuff. Chainsaw's warming up, and I walk over there, and I bury that chainsaw down in it. And what's it do? Where's this tree at I'm supposed to be cutting? What was wrong with it? The inside was rotten. There was nothing there. The bark was just as beautiful as it could be. The leaves were green. For all intents and purposes, that tree was healthy. But there was nothing in the middle. It was dead, but showed signs of life on the outside. That's why it's important to build your core up. We can come to this church. We can walk around here and we can look like everything's okay. Dig into God's Word. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 states, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructing in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Dig in and fall in love. Start a reading plan. I remember not too long ago, you know, I had never read the Bible through. And, you know, I had a beard already. So I was, you know, well into my Christianhood. I set out to read it in 90 days. Woo! Don't do that. Read a chapter or two a day. There's a lot here. There's a lot of good stuff in here. But there's also a lot here. 1,189 chapters, to be exact. If you read 3 1/4 chapters a day, you'll read it in a year. Just 3 chapters. That's not a lot. 23,145 verses. 63.5 verses a day. You'll be done in a year. This book took over 1,500 years to write. Go back to that, what I said. The Holy Bible was written by men, divinely inspired, and is God's revelation of Himself to man. You can read it in a year for 3 1/4 verses a day. Do you have an excuse not to read 3 1/4 verses a day? The next thing we're going to do is we're going to walk. We're going to run. We're going to get some cardiovascular stuff in there. We're going to meditate. When I say the word meditate, what instantly pops into your head? Some Chinese guy with a patchy beard sitting down with his legs crossed with incense burning? Let's be honest. That's not what the Bible's talking about. Philippians 4:8 states, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Fill your head with it. I like to think of pondering more than meditating. Dwell on it. Ponder it. Chew it up. I like radio communications, ham radio. One thing that you do with that is you have a rag chew. You literally just get up there and talk. You talk about what's going on. Ponder it. If you're doing your daily reading, you got something to ponder. You've got something to dwell on. You know, God talks to me a lot through my dwelling on His Word. Sometimes it's not always in the, you know, 30, 45 minutes it takes to read it. Ponder the Word, the work, the action, and the being of God. You'll never exhaust those subjects. You never will exhaust those subjects. If you think you have, read some more. Dwell on it some more. Sink your teeth in it some more. Meditating on this stuff will keep you focused on resisting the devil. And it'll teach you day by day on what exactly it means to be a Christ follower. A Christ follower. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. I love this quote. It says, we were made to know Christ, not frivolous things that are nothing of the end. If you want to see what meditating on Christ can lead to spiritually and mentally, rewatch that video that we watched. That man dwelt on God's Word. He studied God's Word. That was 3 minutes of praise to God. Just solid praise to God. John Piper's The Supremacy of Christ comes to mind also. That's about 10 minutes of just praising God for who He is and what He's done. I hope you were here the other week when Mr. League was here preaching and presenting the Word. He stated a quote that has stuck with me. And it's, he was talking about a guy, a preacher, a gypsy preacher. And he said he preached with passion the first time he saw him, and on the day of his retirement, he was preaching with passion. And he stated that he hadn't lost the wonder of it. God is so mighty, so vast, so powerful. Don't lose the wonder of that. Don't lose the wonder of the fact that He spoke creation into existence. He's God, people. God is good. I'm just sitting here trying to think how I could possibly exhaust the being of God through meditation, and there's no way you could possibly do it. There's no way you could literally latch on to God and exhaust and know everything about Him. There's always something new. What good workout plan is without a diet, though? Fasting. The early church was always fasting and praying. Paul and Barnabas were set apart for missions through prayer and fasting. Jesus was pretty clear, I believe, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 and 18. He said, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. I like comedy stuff too, and I think about all these crazy guys running around fasting, preaching the Word of God. You know, it's awesome to me to think about the zeal that they had at that time to preach the Word of God. I think this fasting had a lot to do with it. How do you fast? At a basic level, you don't eat. And you humble yourself to fully rely on God for your strength. How could Jesus and Moses have fasted for 40 days if they weren't fully relying on God and drawing their strength from Him? It's also quite often paired with prayer. Why? Because God said so. Jesus said, when you fast. When? Nehemiah fasted this morning, prayed and fasted for 4 months to have a conversation with a king. Moses fasted 40 days before he got the Ten Commandments. Jesus fasted 40 days when he was being tempted. The early church seemed to always be fasting for one thing or another. So let God lead you to when you should fast. Don't let Satan lead you from fasting. How long? I'm not God. Go ask him. There's numbers all over the place. So how do you achieve success in a workout plan? How? Stick with it. Stick with itiveness. That's one of the words I loved in the thesaurus. Accountability and encouragement. Two of the areas I've been most successful in my life in the past couple of years is growing as a father and a husband. I'm not the best in the world yet, but I'm moving in that direction, I hope. And losing weight. I've lost 45 pounds in the last 6 months. There's a lot of guys in this church losing weight right now. A lot of women losing weight. We're doing it through accountability and encouragement. How long do you think it takes me every week? 3 hours. 3 hours out of the whole week. I go to 2 meetings a week. One on Monday, one on Thursday. That's driving included. There's 168 hours in a week. Take out 7, 8-ish a day for sleep. You have 119 hours. Three of those are where I get my accountability and encouragement, and I couldn't have done it without that. 2.5% of my waking week, accountability and encouragement. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. But you have to bring those two pieces of iron together with the intent to sharpen them. I can lay two pieces of iron down. What's going to happen? I've brought them together. You've got to be hold each other accountable. You've got to encourage one another. Why is all this important? J. Hampton Keithley, I don't know the fella, but he was a graduate of Dallas Theological Seminary, and he was a pastor for 28 years. One thing God has told me over and over again is I'm not the smartest person in the world, but there are people who are, and they like to share their wisdom, so I latch on to it. This is a quote from him. He said, "If I were the devil, I would do my best to divide and fragment the thinking of the Church of Jesus Christ. I would try to get God's people so confused as to who they are and why they are here. I would try to get them preoccupied with other things. I would try to get them to live independently, to think like the world thinks, to think like the natural man thinks in the futility of his mind. In other words, I would like to keep people away from serious involvement with the Word of God. I would want to keep their relationship with God superficial and secondary." There's a lot of people moving in that direction. Superficial and secondary relationship with the God that we trust with our life that holds us together. Is yours superficial and secondary? I hope not. If it is, turn the corner. Look at Paul. Paul was a murderous Pharisee. He turned the corner. Paul was one of the most zealot proclaimers of the gospel that I know of. In 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." He wrote this to Timothy. He was encouraging a younger pastor. He was encouraging a younger person. He was also holding him accountable for what God has called him to do. And he was able to tell him, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Paul was killed, beheaded during Nero's rule. Talk about it into your life. Go back to that question I asked at the beginning. Let me find it. Put yourself at the end of your life and look back. What type of things do you think you will be glad you did? I don't think you're going to be glad you watched one more episode of MASH, one more episode of Lost. I don't think you're going to be glad you put one more post on Facebook. I don't think you're going to be glad that you slept another hour of every day. You're going to look back on it like Paul did. And you're going to say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. God is good, people. God is good enough to latch on to and fall in love with. Right now, we'll open up our altar for anybody who wants to pray. If you don't understand the things I've talked about, reach out to somebody. Talk to somebody. Don't continue not knowing what it is when it can draw your relationship so close to God that you'll never regret it. If you think you'll regret growing closer to God, pray to Him. He will enforce the fact that you won't. If you don't know God, if you want to have a relationship with Him, it's one of the best things I ever did in my life. When I was in the youth group, I wouldn't even pray out loud. I wouldn't talk to anybody. I told somebody in Sunday school this morning I would have more gladly burned that altar down in front of everybody than get up here and preach. But God has brought me to deliver a message. And He is good. He's too good.
His glory and grace. Oh, to Jesus I surrender all. To Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. Turning back, though.